Today I'm joined by Anthony Foster. You may know him as Foster Visuals. Yeah, you have been able to shoot for celebrities like Polo G, Chance the Rapper, The Rock, the Jonas Brothers, but you've also been able to work with brands like Ralph Lauren, Samsung, Under Armour, the LA Rams. Like, is there anybody that you worked with so far that has had you a little bit starstruck? Or anybody that you like really liked working with that you were like, dang, that was like dope. Like you left feeling like, yo.
Young Thug.
Okay.
Even though like he's more of a rapper.
Yeah.
It was still like when he came onto the job, I didn't know, but I was like chilling and then I felt somebody tap my shoulder. And he was like, hey, what's and I'm like, that's not a question for me, but over here. So that was cool.
Was you the only black person in the room?
No.
This
job was in Atlanta. So usually it's more dominant.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Most of the time I am though.
Yeah, I'm about to say, because I would say if you were the only black person around, it would make sense why he'd be like, hey, yo, my brother, like, you know. No, but yeah, Atlanta is definitely like well-versed in kind of everybody that does everything down there. So being a Steadicam operator is no easy feat. What do you think is the hardest part in your opinion?
Managing everyone's ideas. Because you have a director and then you have a DP who's a director of photography. It's like sometimes they can clash and then you have to be able to just execute and they both be happy. And sometimes it can like, everything can cross. And then you have other people, sometimes there's like a creative director and then it's like, but the director just told you something and everybody's, sometimes they don't agree and they try to like whisper you something.
No, but, that makes sense.
Just like managing everyone's ideas.
So when you're out there like that and everybody's kind of whispering things, what do you feel like, I guess, you're like, who is your loyalty lie to in that? Like,
I just do what I think I would want. And then everybody's happy.
Because your ideas are just like...
It's like, say like, because sometimes everybody's ideas are basically the same thing. They're just saying it differently.
No, that
and
makes
so
sense.
Also being able to like understand and translate, because some people, everybody communicates differently.
I could see that. No, that makes a lot of sense. About when do you think you decided that this is what you like wanted to do, and then how did you make it happen?
In 2019, so I met this guy who he's like my mentor, Renard, and we were doing wedding films. I met him through, I was cutting hair at first in college, and then. He was doing wedding films, I got into wedding films, and we were doing our own thing, and he moved to LA. And he was like, actually, okay, the day I met him, his Steadicam came in the mail. And I was like, bro, what is this? And he explained it to me. He was like, I'm about to move to LA. You know, if you like it too, if you seem like something you want to do, you should get into it. And I was like, all right, bet. And so, long story short, I got into it through him.
Okay.
So I graduated in May, and I moved out that December of 2019.
Dang, that's a big leap. Did you feel like, was there any like pushback from your family or anything that was kind of like, dang, maybe I shouldn't make this move or like?
Yeah, like mostly everybody was like, it's expensive out there or like just not really. Like from my mom, it was definitely like positive feedback, but everybody else was like, it's just like, you sure? You know, kind of like stuff like that.
No, that makes sense.
I don't think it's intentional though. I think it's just when you tell people you're going to move across the country, they just like, don't forget that it's this, this, and this, you know.
And Jay-Z said, when somebody else can't do something, they tell you that you can't do it, but you can't listen to them, and you didn't. And so you end up, like, leaving your hometown, and you move across country to, like, L.A. How do you feel like that's really changed, like, the game for you?
My perspective on, like, life and, or do you mean, like, work-wise?
Just anything. Like, how do you feel like it changed things for you?
Yeah, I feel like it, like, opened my mind to, like, what's out there, even in this regard to like opportunity or like how people treat money, like how, like meeting people who, you know, who are rich and stuff, and just like the meeting positive people, just like just free-minded. It kind of, because like living here, you kind of, it's not, it's just like you're in a box, just be in the Midwest in general, I feel like.
Yeah.
Maybe not so much Chicago, because this is like a big city.
Yeah.
But I feel like here, Ohio, or something like that, you're in a box. And then when you go out there, you're like, oh, shoot. Like, just, I had friends visit, and, like, they had the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of cool. I try to be that person who, like, if you fly, you can stay for free. so you can kind of enjoy it.
Yeah, no, that's definitely dope. What I've heard too is that like people in the Midwest, like we all have to kind of work like harder in a sense. Like when you get out to LA, there's like more access to just other opportunities. It was a design show that I was watching that talked about it, and they were like the people that came from like the LAs and like San Francisco's, they were all like, oh, well, they didn't know how to sew because it's like, well, I just have so-and-so, like, sew it for me. Like, you know, like, they hire somebody to sew it, and then it's like, you know, we're like, oh, I just get my social media manager to do that. And while, like, the people from the Midwest were like, I'm the photographer, I'm the sewer, I'm the designer. Like, you know, like, they do everything. Have you felt, like, I guess that shift, like, you know, on that side of the country?
Yeah. It's like it's like you're trading time for money, basically. Because mm-hmm. It's like if you figure out, like, in a business sense, if you figure out if it makes sense just to hire somebody to do it, then yeah. But I still do, like for an Airbnb, I still took my own photos, but that's because mm-hmm. I know how.
Yeah.
I feel like if I didn't know how, I still would have hired somebody.
See, but that's because you came from the Midwest. You know how to do everything because you had to starting out. Like, that's literally how it is, which is crazy. Like, but no, growing up, I guess, did you see anybody that you felt like was in this field or doing what you kind of wanted to do besides maybe Renard?
No. I just always, whenever I would see like BTS or like at the end of like Marvel movies, you see like the funny mm-hmm. bloopers and stuff, all that like always fascinated me when I was younger. And then when I was hooping, I like had my mom record and I would like try to make my own highlight mm-hmm. tapes and stuff like that. So it's just always was interested in film.
Was there anybody, I guess, that inspired you or like influenced this decision to like go this route?
Renard. Like, is like having somebody around, like when I met him, I saw like somebody who was like disciplined. It was like first time seeing that. Like somebody was like, I'm gonna do this, and I saw them do it. I'm gonna do this, I saw them do it.
Yeah.
And
then
when I met other people in LA, kind of like in that circle, I just saw so much just like discipline and like drive. And I was like, yeah, this is like, it's like when I surrounded myself with those people, it just was like, I feel like it just happened. You know?
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. So do you feel like that's a, like, I guess a key takeaway for people is that like discipline and like doing what you say you're going to do?
Yeah, and like, it's always, you got to think like a year from the day you start something, like it's not going to be quick. Like
definitely.
I feel like a year after I moved, I was like, okay. But right after I moved in March was COVID. Mm-hmm. And so from like March to May, I'm chilling. I'm like, I don't even know if it's, you know what I'm saying? And then in June, it picked back up. And then that's when I started to feel better about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did get like some work in February and in early March. And then like I had jobs lined up for March and they all got canceled because of COVID.
Yeah,
if it wasn't for that, I probably would have been like, well, I signed a lease. So. It was just like
he was like, I'm here.
Yeah, but I guess that was good though, because COVID, I was kind of just like looking in the mirror, just reflecting.
Yeah,
so I think
definitely.
If I was in like if I was here, I probably would have had like a way, like a different mindset that wasn't as positive.
No, that makes sense. What are, I guess, some practical tips like an everyday camera person like shooting video could use to kind of get a steady shot? Like me, let's say I'm shooting a video, like what are some tips that you might have that I can like, I guess, create more stable footage when I'm shooting?
Use a stabilizer.
Okay.
I know like for these type of cameras, they have like the handheld one that you put on the motors, or composition. It's like always making sure, like, you know how you can turn the grid on?
Yeah.
That's like, I used to ignore that.
But now, I ignore that now.
But now, it's like just a part of it, you know?
Yeah.
For stable wise, and this isn't like a part of the question, but lighting. Lighting mm-hmm. is like so important.
Okay.
But yeah.
What do you think is the importance of somebody investing in high quality equipment when it comes to like being in the video field?
The camera and the lenses. It's like you can still have like a 3-year-old camera, but if you have like, because I know you've seen prices of how like lenses, so, but it's worth it because it's gonna last forever. And
that's
so
true.
Definitely like those expensive lenses go a long way.
I feel like a lot of the new cameras come up with like E-mounts that sort of, you know, like flip-flop. That sort of you can adjust and switch out different lenses for different cameras as well.
Yeah, definitely. Like I know the Sony is like E-mount.
Yeah.
And if you have like three different of those Sony bodies, you don't have to like keep buying lenses.
Yeah.
So, and Lumix has their own, but then there's like mounts, so you can use the Sony lens on this Canon camera if you buy that adapter. So lenses, I feel like, I know it get expensive, but I think lenses are definitely
Definitely. That's a gem. How do you feel like moving to LA impacted like your growth just as a videographer specifically?
I learned, so when you're a videographer, you're by yourself. And then when I start working on production, it's like you're with a team of like 30 and you're all collaborating. So instead of it just being just you, you learn like, it's like, people, they're playing their role, like, you know, the designer or the, you know, art people or the lighting people, they're all playing your role. Mm-hmm. And then you just like to focus on yourself. And like for me, it's just framing and like the motion. But when you're by yourself, you're setting up camera, you're doing all this, like lighting, you're doing all this stuff. So that was a good thing that I realized it helped you like just focus. And so you're not really thinking about this because that's not your job. It's just, shoot.
That makes a lot of sense. As the Steadicam operator too, you're like right in the action, right? Like you're like the front and center camera, right? Does that ever make you nervous? Like, dang, if I don't get this shot right, like this is the money shot. Like
it used to. Yeah, definitely in the beginning. Like you had like one of those things I had to learn was confidence. Like being young, walking on a job and everybody's, you know, 30, 40 plus, just by default, they see you're young and they're like, okay, let's see. And if at first it was hard to have that confidence, but now it's like way better. It's like I have the confidence.
Confidence is key.
At first, I was like, my first few jobs, you know, they were bigger jobs, and so like, I was like, whew, okay. Like I was, my heart was racing. Yeah, for sure.
I feel like as long as you've been posting content, like I'm like, dang, he been working with stars like the whole time. But maybe you didn't show us everything from the beginning. You just started popping out, you know, when it was celebrities, or you was just always getting big gigs. Like
there was stuff in the beginning, but like a lot of jobs, like if I do 100 jobs, maybe 50 of them will actually release. You know, there's other videos I've done too, and they never dropped. I was excited for it. Like when I'm shooting them, or like when they hit me up, like we're gonna do a video for so and so or this, you know, not like Nike, and then I never see it.
Dang.
And I'm like, dang, because I have to like keep tracking my notes. Like this might come out, and then I like look it up on YouTube or something, and it's like nothing.
So then, if it doesn't come out, then you don't post the footage that you have, because you often post a lot of the footage that you have. But if it doesn't come out, then you just like
NDA. Basically.
Yeah.
And like as of lately, because of bigger jobs, I haven't really been getting behind the scenes stuff because they'll just like stop you, or depending on the artist, if the artist is like
rushing around or something,
if the artist is A-list, their manager will stop you from recording.
Dang.
And then it makes you look like a rookie because you're recording. You know what I'm saying? Because it makes you look excited. But if you connect with like the BTS photographer, then you can like get that stuff. You know?
No, that makes sense.
But everybody's busy, so it's a hit or miss. It's like you can get their Instagram, talk to them for a little bit, but they may not, you know, send it to you.
No, that makes sense. How important is networking and building relationships in this sort of industry?
It's like the top priority because I get bookings through text message. Like, hey, are you available 26?
Yeah.
And so that's like, if you don't connect, then... Because there was a time I was like quiet, like I'm naturally quiet and reserved and to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up one day, I was like, I gotta be more, or it's not gonna be sustainable.
How did you, I guess, get yourself out of that, like, I guess more of an introverted state to be able to do that?
I feel like the first, like, you can ask somebody, like, where are you from? Mm-hmm. Like, especially if they have like an accent. Like, I work with a lot of people from, like, the UK and stuff like that. So if they have an accent or if you don't know their background, like, what's your nationality or ethnicity or something like that? Mm-hmm. And then I kind of just go from there. Mm-hmm. Just, like, little icebreakers.
Yeah.
Because usually, that's, like, my go-to.
So if you're on shoot with somebody, what's your way of being, like, Yeah, go ahead and slide me your phone number in case you have like other gigs. Like, how do you like go about something? Like, no,
I don't.
Oh, okay.
I feel like the rule is like they should ask me for my number.
Gotcha.
Because I feel like if I have to ask them, it's like it.
They probably will never hit you up.
Yeah,
it's like, no, that makes sense.
Because usually, and then I noticed the trend that usually people who are starting off are like, let me get your contact, like hit me up, and then. So it makes you look green.
Yeah.
Like asking for everybody's information.
No, that makes sense. What did you want to be when you were younger?
A mechanic. Actually, you know, it was at a point in time, it was a mechanic, and I was in a magnet program at Riley.
Mm.
So I wanted to do engineering.
Mm.
And so I changed my major in college, and then that's when it started doing film, like camera stuff.
That makes sense. So then you went from mechanic to then you was barbering.
Well, before school, mechanic/engineer,
then barbering, like.
That was to save up for my camera. So from cutting hair, I bought my car, and then I bought my camera. And then, so that was literally just from freshman year to senior year. Because everybody was like, that's your calling, bro. But I was just like, no, I was just able to, it was a business. I looked at it as a business, so
yeah.
I was able to get a lot of people on campus.
Dang.
But I was like, that was never my passion.
Yeah. Nah, that's dope, though, to use your side hustle to get to what you want your main thing to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's a gem right there. So what advice would you give to somebody that's thinking about leaving their hometown and moving across the country to pursue, like, their dreams?
And a few people have DM'd me, and I tell everybody the same thing. Save up 10 grand. 8 to 10 grand.
Yeah.
Before you move. Because you gotta have like 6 to 8 months, because it's not gonna happen overnight. Unless unless it happens. But assume it's gonna take a half a year. That way you don't like move there and then it's 2 months go by and like you're disappointed and like discouraged.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense.
And like just do it. Like it's not gonna be easy. It's gonna be hard no matter what. Unless you got family there, you got people there. But I was gonna move by myself and I was able to convince people to come with me. But regardless, yeah. I was going to go by myself.
No, that makes a lot of sense. What's, I guess, your one, if you had to give kind of one key tip to, like, an inspiring camera operator, what would your tip be?
Man, that's a good question. YouTube University. I know that's by cookie gutter, but
yeah.
I feel like everything that you need to learn is on YouTube. But also, like, don't, like, I used to ignore, like, I used to watch top budget stuff and be like, this is boring.
Cause, oh, yeah.
Like, I started music videos, so I would watch newer budget music videos, like, for example, Offset video just came out, and you're like, dang, there's no special effects, there's no crazy edits. I used to think that was boring. But they put all their money into production design and, you know, a police chase or something like that. In my eyes, when I started off, was like, dang, there's no flashes, there's no this and that.
Yeah.
And then I start to realize, like, oh, the value is in, like, what's, like, behind the camera, not, like, what you did in the edit.
I've heard people say, too, like, a lot of people get on YouTube and they start watching, like, the top people that are, like, the Mr. Beasts. And, like, it's like you're not going to learn anything from somebody that's, like, all the way at the top. You got to, like, watch to those smaller, like, creators on there that's, like, just a step above from where you're just at. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's a gem, too, when it comes to YouTube.
This guy named, I think it was, I haven't watched him in a while, but it was either YCI or YIC Imaging.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like,
oh, I've seen him before.
Like, dude, yeah. So
yeah.
I watched him. I watched like all his videos because he was like, I bought the camera he had. I did exactly what he did. And I feel like if you just see what they're doing, just copy it and add your own flavor to it.
Because
at the end of the day, it's just like everything turns into a business unless you keep it a hobby.
Yeah. Do you feel like everything should be a business, or do you feel like there's some stuff that people should keep as hobbies?
I think if you want it to be a hobby, because when it turns into work, that's when you're going to have your days where you're like, you don't really feel like doing it, you know? But if you want it to become your source of income, you're going to have to switch it to like start thinking of it like a business.
Definitely. What's it been like having your girlfriend and your friends like in LA with you, like to pursue kind of this mission?
Fun. Like people, like somebody asked me a question the other day they asked me, like, how are you doing? I was like, I'm happy. I have no complaints.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, like, I have no complaints.
No, definitely. Well, I'm super proud of y'all and happy for y'all too. And thank you for coming on the pod. Is there anything else you want to say kind of to the people, to the podcast, to South Bend? Like,
just, you know, keep going. I don't got nothing.
Definitely.
Count on me because I'm different. I run my team with precision. You know. Hell in writing whips that you don't need an ignition. I bring my dreams to fruition. My come up story is written. You don't need no revision. And I ain't nowhere to finish.
Nah, I've seen so many